Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasts.
The files are located on the second floor, at the end of a long hallway. The fluorescent lights above flicker on and off. Open the door on the right. In the bottom drawer of a file cabinet, there it is, a folder labeled with three words that are poured onto stories. Stories of history. Stories of people. Stories of death. I'm Luke Poling, and this is Famous Last Words.
This is Radio Nederland in Hilversum, Holland. We would like to inform listeners in North America that in connection with the unexpected death of Pope John Paul I in the Vatican, our program and the rest of our program is changed. Listeners to DX Gearbox will have to wait until next week, I'm afraid. We'll now play you some music in tune with this sad occasion.
When you look at a list of the shortest-serving popes, John Paul I is only the 10th shortest on record, which is kind of impressive since he only served as pontiff for 37 days. Pope Urban VII holds the record with just 13 days in his papacy in 1590, but in that length of time, he instituted the first public smoking ban, threatening excommunication to anyone who smoked, chewed, or sniffed tobacco in church. But back to John Paul I. Albino Luciani was born October 17, 1912, in Forno di Canale in Italy. He was baptized almost immediately after his birth because the midwife feared that he would soon die. At 10, a Capuchin friar came to their village to help celebrate Lent, the time in the Catholic calendar which ends on Easter Sunday. From that moment on, Albino wanted to be a priest. Telling his father this, his father replied, "I hope when you become a priest, you're on the side of the workers, for Christ himself would have been on their side." Albino entered the high school seminary in 1923, where reports classified him as too lively. He later tried to join the Jesuit order, but was denied by the bishop. Then Luciani took up teaching, while continuing to work on his doctorate of sacred theology. His doctorate required a year's work in Rome, but the school, wanting to keep him on their teaching staff, got a special dispensation from Pope Pius VII. Albino would earn his doctorate in 1947. In that same year, he was named chancellor to the Bishop of Bologna. In 1949, he published his first book about practicing the faith in a simple way, designed for everyone to understand. In the same year, he was named chancellor to the Bishop of Bologna. In 1954, he was named the Vicar General for the Bologna Diocese. And on December 15, 1969, Pope Paul VII named Luciani the Patriarch of Venice. This made him the Bishop of Venice, Italy, but also put him in a rare position. There are only four patriarchs in the Latin Church, which is part of the Catholic Church, and in case you were wondering, the other patriarchs in the Church are the Patriarch of Lisbon, the Patriarch of the West Indies, and the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem. Other than the unique title, the only main difference to a traditional bishop is that the Patriarch title gives you a better place in line when you're processing anywhere with the Pope. In 1973, Pope Paul VI named Luciani the Cardinal Priest of San Marco, which was located in Rome. In 1976, Luciani made some news when he sold a gold cross and chain that had been given to him by Pope John XIII to raise money for disabled children in the diocese. Luciani also encouraged his fellow priests to do the same, reminding them that the teachings for priests to live poorly and humbly. He said, "I come without 5 lire. I want to leave without 5 lire." On August 6, 1978, Pope Paul VI died after serving as pontiff for 15 years. As an aside, his final words, after being told by his personal secretary that while there were only a few people in the room with him, he reminded the Pope that many were gathered outside praying for him. The Pope responded, "Naturally, that's the way it should be. The Pope is dying. I love them. They love me." While Luciani was headed to Rome for the formal conclave, which would result in the pronouncement of a new pope, he knew that many people did not consider him papable, which meant they didn't think he could be elected pope. Upon arriving in Rome, Luciani was approached by several cardinals, who told him that they thought he was the perfect choice.
Beginning of a theme which will continue throughout this day, Come Holy Ghost Creator Blessed, an inspirational hymn to send the 111 cardinals on their way from the Pauline Chapel into the Sistine Chapel and these extraordinarily important political and spiritual deliberations on who the next pope will be.
The conclave started on August 25th, 1971, and, as per tradition, everyone except the electors who would decide the new pope were removed from the Sistine Chapel. The doors were locked and the windows closed, with some even being sealed. Seeing as this was August in Italy, it was a little warm. One cardinal later described his bedroom as, quote, a kind of sauna. Whether or not he was technically supposed to be considered as a papal candidate, on the fourth ballot, Albino Luciani was elected in a landslide. Notes taken at the time by various priests present different totals for the tally, but in all, Luciani had around 90 votes, while the runner-up received around 10. Of all the votes that were kept, it appears that in some cases, Luciani was the sole holdout, voting for someone other than himself. Luciani immediately turned to Cardinal Jean-Marie Vallo, who was sitting next to him, and said, "May God forgive you for what you have done." When another cardinal reminded Luciani that he had predicted this, the new pope responded, "You are a prophet. My reign will be a short one."
The traditional white smoke issuing from the building in which the Sacred College of Cardinals are gathered in conclave announces that a pope has been elected.
On August 26, 1978, at 6:42 p.m., smoke appeared from the chimney of the Sistine Chapel. However, for almost an hour, no one was sure what it meant. Some cardinals had thrown their ballots into the stove, which darkened the smoke, so no one outside could tell if the smoke was white or black. However, it was official almost an hour later, when the ranking cardinal deacon emerged onto the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica.
Habemus Papam!
When he emerged onto the balcony to bestow his first blessing as Pope, he did so as Pope John Paul I. He was 66 years old.
Santi Apostoli Petrus et Paulus, de quorum potestate et autoritate confidimus, ipsi intercedant pro nobis.
One of the big goals of his papacy was to humanize the role. He was the first modern pope to speak in the singular form, meaning that he said I instead of referring to himself as we. But before you build him up into some type of new forward pope, his platform kept many of the church's teachings, including being against homosexuality, ordaining women, abortion, and any attempts to help infertile couples have a baby. In the ensuing years, some of those who were involved in his papacy had pointed to statements that he had made prior to his ascension that, they say, indicates he would have eventually come out in favor of in vitro fertilization and allowing women to serve as priests. Pope John Paul I was known as a good writer and speaker, with a good personality. His nickname was the Smiling Pope. When he talked to those gathered in St. Peter's Square on the day after his election, he began his remarks by saying, "A funny thing happened to me on my way to the conclave." Those who worked in the Vatican liked him too, noting that he would speak to them casually and invite them into his apartment chapel to celebrate Mass with him, something that the previous pope did not do. He was popular with the people because of his personality, though several in the church didn't think he was serious enough to be elevated to such a high position. One cleric said, "They've elected Peter Sellers," and several others mentioned his sermons where he didn't talk of belief using biblical writings as his guide, but instead quoted from Pinocchio. He also included books by Mark Twain, Willa Cather, and G.K. Chesterton as some of his favorites, which was also not a popular move with the church. On September 28, 1978, the Pope complained of suffering chest pains, which lasted for around 5 minutes while he was reciting Vespers in the chapel. He refused to let anyone call a doctor. Around 10 p.m. that night, the Pope announced he was going to bed, saying to the nuns who took care of the household, "Tomorrow we will see each other, if the Lord still wishes it, and we will celebrate Mass together." At some point during the night, the Pope suffered a fatal heart attack and died. On the morning of the 29th, after seeing the coffee that she left out for the Pope was untouched, Sister Vincenza knocked several times on the bedroom door before entering. Pope John Paul I was sitting up in bed, his reading light still on, his glasses on his nose. He had a few typewritten pages in his lap and a slight smile on his face. Famous Last Words is a production of the Professional Production Company. It is written and narrated by Luke Poling. That's me. It is produced by Heidi Hedquist and myself. Our assistant producer is Sabrina Thompson. You can find the show on Instagram and Facebook under Famous Last Words Pod. And on our website, you can find full transcripts, credits, and much more, famouslastwordspod.com.
Darkcast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
Welcome to Creepy Tapas,
where we do the opposite of deep dives and bring you tiny tastes of terror connected by a common ingredient.
True stories to haunt and chill you and the pop culture they inspired.
Or at least the movies and books that remind us of them.
Join us as we descend into darkness,
beginning with the lighter side of our weekly topic
and wrapping with a full dark, no stars account of terror, madness, murder, and more. It's Creepy Tapas, y'all.